we need the we need that cerebral quarterback, Baker Mayfield, that took the Browns to the playoffs. That's what we
Bruh,
need.
Bruh, he wasn't cerebral, though. That's the thing. Like, people, okay. See, this is the argument that people are making for Baker Mayfield. Now, I read you his numbers on Sunday night.
Okay, and he does not have bad numbers.
So you have to look at his numbers in context. Because obviously I know a ton of Browns fans. And I've sat down with them and I've watched Browns games. And every single last one of those Brown fans wanted this man gone before they made the trade for him. They wanted him out of there. So obviously them numbers ain't matching up to what he was actually doing play by play.
Guys, like, this dude, the writing's pretty easy to figure out. He is a bad downfield thrower. He is not an accurate quarterback historically, and he throws a lot of interceptions.
Well, yes.
Jameis Winston was a good downfield thrower.
Yeah, that's one thing. I'm a fan of Jameis Winston,
that's fine. At least Derek can agree with me that Jameis Winston was a good downfield
thrower. His deep ball was very good. It was his short game. His short to intermediate that got him in trouble. But you're
trying to tell me that Baker Mayfield, where he has failed pretty much wherever he's gone, yeah, except for that one Thursday night game where he somehow led the Rams to a victory, whoop-de-doo. I'm sorry, okay. But
That game was
terrible to watch, by the way. I forget who the Rams was
playing. Yeah, it was a rock fight for sure.
But the team they were playing wasn't that good either. So here's Baker Mayfield. 2020 was the year that they went to the playoffs. Okay?
Yeah.
An efficient quarterback is what? Of accurate quarterback. Okay?
An accurate quarterback?
Yeah, I mean his completion percentage gotta be good. Well, that season he was just 62-63%. That was his best year. Actually, it wasn't. 63% his rookie year was his best year completion percentage-wise. That was his next best year. But on average, this dude's sitting at about 60%. Now, in today's game, that's bottom of the league. Right? You got guys completing 75% of their passes on easy. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a 67-68% passer. And he, outside
of his legs, is kind of a middle quarterback in the league if he didn't have, of course, what he does on the ground. And everyone in this room can agree that Baker Mayfield's not Lamar Jackson on the ground. So,
no.
All right, so 2020, I'm going to – this year they made the playoffs. So he had Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in his backfield. They were as a team, they ran for 2,300 yards. He threw for 3,700 yards. You want to know why they went to the playoffs? That's why they went to the playoffs, the running game. They average as a group, they average almost five yards a carry. The offensive line was one of the best in the league.
Well, I mean, so Debo, the thing is, and as of recently, we've even talked about this, that you have got to have a decent running game.
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have that.
And
I know we got a new offensive coordinator. But
and Derek, the starting running back this year is the guy you like.
Yeah, I like Rashad White. But I don't like our offensive line. They suck. From a running standpoint, they've been terrible. We can bring back I don't know why people praise this guy so much, because I don't really think he's that good. But Ryan Jensen, bring him back. Because since he's been on our offensive line, we've not had a good running game. So you can bring him back too. We still won't be able to run the ball, because we weren't running the ball with him.
But here's the thing. Okay, and we can all agree on this, that Tom Brady.
No, you can't run the ball with Brady, bro.
A lot of the offensive line missteps, because
of course he did, because he's the best quarterback of all time,
arguably.
Oh, William, no. Don't go down that rabbit hole. That's like saying arguably. LeBron is better than Jordan. Don't do it.
Yeah, well, we all know LeBron's not better than Jordan, so that's not even a comparison.
Just like Joe Montana is not better than Tom Brady. Sorry, he's not.
Okay. You keep thinking that. Hey, I got some land in Arizona I'll sell you. Social for a property.
William, it's good. It's okay to be wrong. Tom Brady has the resume of two Hall of Fame careers in one career. I'm sorry. It's just, it's not close.
Sorry, Montana will always be my QB.
Did Montana win a Super Bowl for the Chiefs? Oh, don't worry. Mm. I'll wait.
No. Kind of have to have a team around you to win.
Brady, who's older than Montana at the time, goes to the Bucks, you win the Super Bowl. Yes, the Bucks were really good. I'll give you that. But at the same time, he still had to win him the title. And he did.
Look, I am not saying that I don't like Tom Brady. I actually started liking him a lot more when he came to Tampa. And it's not because he was on the Bucks. It was because the dude actually showed some personality. And that actually got me to like him. Is Tom Brady a Hall of Fame quarterback? Yes. Hands down, first ballot Hall of Famer. Anybody says anything else, they're wrong. But
yeah, because they probably live in North Korea. I mean, that'd be the only other, reason.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong. And like I said, I will not deny that Tom Brady has a great resume. He has one of the best resumes in the world when it comes to pro football. Now, with that being said, you're also looking at two different eras of football between Joe Montana and Tom Brady. So
can arguably say that Tom Brady has won in three different eras of how the game has evolved.
Because he
from
did,
his first
he
one to the Bucks win. I think the game has completely changed from when he won against the Rams and when he won, let's say, against the Falcons, and then when he won against with the Bucks. I would say the game, he's won in three different changes of how the NFL was evolving.
Okay, I can give you that. I really can. And like I said, I'm not saying that Tom Brady is not a top three quarterback of all time, because he is. Like, I mean, I I would put the only quarterback that I would not completely 100% put him ahead of is Joe Montana. Every other quarterback, I honestly don't see where it would compare. I really don't. Like I said, I respect Tom Brady. I respect him. I respect him 1,000% of what he has been able to accomplish.
So okay, William. So this has been my argument, and Derek has known on the show since I've been on about how I always have believed LeBron's number two, because he has everything else except for the number of NBA titles, right? So I've always said the argument, if he is the 12th man and he is 48 years old and he finally wins a sixth title, he is better than Jordan, because everything else he has accomplished, I have always felt he's going to do it because he's going to play for so much longer. Now, Montana is like the Jordan argument of Jordan was undefeated in the finals, just like Montana was undefeated in his Super Bowl runs. But you can say a couple of things. Brady has played longer than Montana. Brady won way more Super Bowls than Montana. So he has the LeBron argument if LeBron ever got to his sixth title. So even if you say that Montana was a better passer, he was more accurate, whatever you want to put, or he was undefeated in the Super Bowl, Brady has seven. He's the Robert Horry plus the best player at his position.
And that is why I will always say arguably, because I cannot ever put completely Montana over Brady, even though Montana is my favorite quarterback of all time, and I can't put Brady ahead of Montana. That is why I will always say arguably. And let me tell you guys this. What Brady has accomplished, that's not going to be duplicated anytime soon. You cannot pinpoint me to one person right now.
The only chance is Mahomes in 10 years. Where is Mahomes going to be in 10 years? I think that's your only chance, because Mahomes is the only quarterback in 10 years.
He's going to be in the owner's box of the Kansas City Chiefs, because after this contract he just signed, that's all they're going to be able to give him for him to stay in Kansas City.
He's the only quarterback in the league. If their team isn't very good around him, he can still make him win 12 or 13 games. Am I wrong, Derek?
No, I would agree with that. I mean, I would agree with that.
I think Mahomes has that drive that Brady always had to win as many Super Bowls or to get to as many as humanly possible. Now, I like Josh Allen, and I think Josh Allen's a terrific quarterback, but he is not on the level of Mahomes in today's quarterbacks. I'm sorry.
I don't really think you can put really anybody on that level, because Mahomes, that dude is just a freaking nature. That's what he is.
He has the only chance I feel to probably come as close to replicating Brady numbers and records and accolades and all the stats. I think he's the only one that could come close to it.
Yeah, that's accurate. I would say that's very accurate. Now,
Hey, hold on real quick. Ladies, We're going to bring him in now because he's on the line, and I know he wouldn't mind saying a couple things himself. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Rat Pack Sports Show fantasy football guru himself, Boss Hog, Sean Naylor. What's going on, man?
William's nemesis.
Yeah.
Mr. Sean Naylor, what's going on?
Mickey Buckets, what you doing, man?
I have made my Sting comes down from the rafters and the baseball bat to clear the ring entrance earlier. So I haven't been on in a little bit, so I wanted to surprise you guys and say nothing, and all of a sudden here I am. So the last couple Wednesdays been a little busy, so unfortunately I haven't been able to get on and talk any free agency or anything going on in the league, but you know, I had a chance to get on and talk some Bucks and tell William that Tom Brady is better than Joe Montana. That's what I'm here for.
Well, I mean, everybody's entitled to.
Tom Brady is better than Joe Montana.
Oh, okay. Thank
so
you.
Boss Hog, we don't need the opinion of somebody that thinks that Sam Howell is the starting quarterback in the National Football League, okay?
Sam Howell is 100% a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
For a preseason
if that offense stays healthy and that defense does what that defense can do and be a top seven defense like they were last year, you will see the Washington Commanding Redskins.
I like it.
You will see.
That is a fantasy football name. Commanding
yes,
Redskins. I really like it.
So my fan, in case you're playing in the Rap Droppings League, I have set my team name. It's This Is How We'll Do It.
Oh my gosh! Come on.
With Sam Howell as the, you know, this is how we'll do it. But Sam Howell will take this team places. And I'm not saying he's going to take them to the basement. Sam Howell is going to take them to NFC East championships, and Sam Howell is going to take them to be Super Bowl contenders.
Ooh, man, that
bro.
Now you're really smoking something in that Colorado air, man. Holy moly.
Go read what Booger McFarland said today.
I could give a care less what Booger McFarland said. That dude's been wrong.
Go read what RG3 said on Monday night.
Hey, is
Booger McFarland the Kendrick Perkins of the NFL analyst?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Oh boy, Sean Naylor, your argument just shrunk a little bit there. Sam Howell is bad, but I'm saying that I need to pump the brakes a little bit.
Sam Howell is the best quarterback that we've had in the Ron Rivera era.
You are full of shit.
I am not. You will see come week one, September 10th.
Dude, you are totally dissing the Taylor Heineke fans. That is
Yes, yes, he is.
And I was Taylor Heineke fan.
Really could prove it by me.
I mean, Taylor Heineke did make your team like somewhat talkable for a couple of weeks, and then you know, of course, the Bucks, you know, just kind
of
randomly
weeks.
Beat them in the wild card game. He made it close. He made it close.
You know, I don't discredit the Alex Smith years. I don't discredit the Taylor Heineke. the way he played. He brought gumption. He brought balls. He brought, you know.
And that's what you need.
Have you watched this man play football? Have you watched this guy? And I'm not talking about in North Carolina. He was drafted in the fifth round last year. And the year before, when he decided to stay in school, he was projected as a first-round draft choice.
Yeah.
He has potential to be an NFL quarterback. And I have seen that.
No offense, but when I watch Sam Howell, I see Ryan Leaf.
Oh, my Lord.
I would rather have Sam Howell than the dumpster fire that Baker Mayfield is. I'm sorry, William, but did you watch the Johnny Manziel, you know, untold story? I think Baker Mayfield has the same qualities in the quarterback as Johnny Manziel. Of course, he's not a hothead or crazy man like Johnny Manziel is, but they're not very far off on how they are as quarterbacks.
So here's the thing. Johnny Manziel, when he was released from the Browns, that was it for him. He never tried to go to another team. He just sat there and collected those paychecks.
Because he's a crazy head case. Like, he can't handle being an NFL quarterback. The documentary showed you that. Now, Baker Mayfield, I mean, what big of a difference is there really between the two of them? They're both short. They're both not good deep ball throwers. They're both not really that accurate. Baker Mayfield's maybe a little bigger, like, body-wise.
Would you like to know what Baker Mayfield does more commercials?
He does have very good commercials. Manziel had a really good nickname. I'll give you that.
Okay. I do give you that.
But here is the difference between Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel. Baker Mayfield is at least admitting that he needs to be a better quarterback. He is at least trying to revive his career. Okay, that speaks volumes. Okay, and so
we all agree between the four of us here that this is his last chance of being a starting quarterback if it doesn't work.
Yes, 1,000%. 1,000%.
I'm going to put out a statement, and I know I said this in the group chat a couple days ago. I am going to be absolutely floored and stunned by my eyes wide open and my mouth just dropped to the floor if this Bucs team wins 6 games this year. Absolutely. I'll be absolutely stunned.
We will win 6 games. I actually think we'll win 7 or 8 games. But here's the thing. This inconceivable notion or this incompetence notion that we're not rebuilding, it's laughable.
We're not rebuilding because we're stuck in cap hell. That's why we're not rebuilding.
Derek, what do you think about that?
Nicky
Buckets, we are rebuilding.
How are you rebuilding when you have a guy like – when you have Evans and Godwin still here? You would have traded him already.
No. Evans, maybe. Godwin, no. Godwin is our number one receiver. To all you Bucs fans out there, sorry. Facts are facts. Derek, can I get some backup on this?
What's that?
Can you please tell Nicky Buckets that the Bucs are, in fact, rebuilding?
Personally, I feel like they are in the rebuild. I'm going to tell you why.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you why. Even though we got Evans and Godwin, they're still too good to especially Godwin. You're not letting him. You're not letting him. You need pieces to rebuild, but we got offensive line issues. We got quarterback issues because you're starting Baker Mayfield. I'd rather them go.
We have secondary issues.
You got secondary issues. You got an issue at middle linebacker because I don't like Devin White. I think he's one of the worst middle linebackers in football. If you come into me with an argument supporting Devin White, and what you tell me is, well, he has the most pressures by middle linebacker in the league, and he leads all middle linebackers in sacks, that's exactly why I don't want him. Because as a middle linebacker, your argument to support a player should never be doing something out of the realm of what you would normally want a middle linebacker to do, and that's somebody that can stuff the run.
Well, and, you know, and I have said this plenty of times, Devin White is not the right middle linebacker for us. He does not fit our defensive scheme. Okay, I have said that. Devin White is great at what he does. That's it. Okay, he's great at being that open man that can rush in and get the sack. He can run people down. That's great, but for us, that's not what we need our middle linebacker to do. Okay, our middle linebacker needs to be Derek Brooks. That's what he needs to be. Now, is anybody ever going to be as good as Derek Brooks? Probably not. But that is what our defensive scheme runs on. Yeah, exactly.
Derek Brooks is a top five middle linebacker in NFL history. There's no debate about that.
Yeah. But Devin White.
This is the problem I have with Bucs fans in regards to Devin White. Okay. When you look at the metrics, when you look at his numbers and you stat him out against his position, he's one of the worst in the league. Stopping the run, he's terrible in pass coverage. We already knew that coming in. He's not great. He's not good in pass coverage. And then I could just go to the film last year and show you 1,000 clips of him being driven 15, 20 yards back and can't get a lineman off of him to shed a block for his life. And they just running the ball right up the gut where if your middle linebacker is a thumper, the first thing he going to do, if he can't make the tackle, he's going to blow the hole up. He's going to blow the hole up and clog it up and let his teammates, give him help and make the tackle in the pile. But he don't do that. He tries to use his athleticism to jump around blocks, and every single time he jumps right out of the hole. Like you can't do that. Like we watch Hardy Nickerson, Jamie Duncan. I'm just talking about Bucs. Hardy Nickerson, Jamie Duncan, Shelton Quarles for years, and
Barrett Rood.
Even Barrett Rood. I mean,
yes, one of the most underrated players on the Bucs, hands down.
I mean,
he did not get enough love.
We watch guys like that, and if a lead blocker is coming, they're not trying to make the tackle; they're just trying to clog the hole. You got your teammates. Mm-hmm. You got your teammates to make the tackle, but he want to be Mr. Superstar and he want to make all the plays and get live, man. Get live, man. Make a tackle. Like you got all these tackles, but I guarantee you, 60% of his tackles, he's running plays down 10, 15, 20 yards downfield. Mm-hmm. That's not what I want my middle linebacker doing.
He is, Debo, I've said this before, okay? What he does is it doesn't work for our defense. It does not.
They drafted him. They drafted him for this defense.
Okay. Okay. And that was a mistake. Because if you look at his best year with the Bucs.
It was when look who
was up there on that defensive line.
JPP, Sue.
Yes.
And Vita Vey sitting in front of him the whole game.
Thank you. Okay. Those guys eat up the blocks. That made him the free man to be able to zip in there and sack the QB. That is what he is good at. He is good at being that free man.
Yeah, but as soon as you put a hand on him, he's SOL. He's MIA. You won't see him. You won't see him.
And that's Debo, that's what I'm trying to tell you, man. Okay. Honestly, Devin White would probably work on, I don't know, maybe a Bengals defense.
Well, here's what I don't like.
A Ravens defense? He might even be halfway decent on a Commanders defense.
He's not physical enough to play for Baltimore. He's not physical enough to play on the Ravens defense.
Well, what I'm saying is that the Ravens have those big guys up front that eat up those blocks. That's what I'm saying. The Bengals, same thing. They got those big men up front that eat up the blocks. The Commanders, Boss Hogg, yeah, chime in on this. Do or do not the Commanders have those big guys up front that eat up blocks?
He's still there.
He's on mute.
But here's another thing that I don't like. Okay. And this is the way the sports media work. They don't never marvel the guy that just make plays and play football. They go for the obnoxious,
They go for the highlight reel.
They go for the loudest mouth. You know, they go for the guy that's outspoken, you know. But Levante David graded out. And I use Pro Football Focus because that's the only way you can tell if the tape is matching the production on the stat sheet. So Levante David statistically graded out on Pro Football Focus as a top five linebacker. But yet, when they did the top 100, they had Devin White in the top 100, and they had Levante David where? Not ahead of Devin White.
Well, here's the thing about the top 100. The thing about the top 100 is that's voted on by NFL peers. Pro Football Focus is done by stats. So people think that Devin White, NFL players think that Devin White plays better than Levante David does. Boy,
that's a lie.
Stats-wise.
That's a lie.
And that's a lie. Levante David is the better linebacker on that linebacking core. We all know that.
And as far as Devin White
on a Commanders defense, no, he wouldn't fit well.
Oh, you don't think he would?
No.
Oh, well, the only reason I would say he might be able to work is because you two have those big guys up front that eat up those blocks. And that's where he thrives. He thrives on that defensive line, being able to eat up blocks to where he can just kind of zip in there and grab the tackle or grab the sack. If you go and you look at his LSU days, just pull up. I don't care what game film. You will see that every one of his great games, you had that defensive line that was sitting there eating up those blocks. He never really had to contend with somebody. If he did, he just kind of did this little juke out of the way, and that was it. And half the time, it was a tight end, a fullback, you know, I mean, somebody that knows how to block, but let's face it, they're not blockers.
Hey, you got to get off it. If it's a tight end or a fullback trying to block you as a middle linebacker and you can't get off of that block, you're not that good. That's it. I don't care what your stats say. I don't care if you, statistically you got, you know, well, you know, 500
you got
tackles.
You got scheme issues as a defense as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. But,
I mean,
you know, but I mean, guys, this is exactly what I'm saying. If you do not believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in a rebuild mode, you're pulling yourself.
We're in a semi-rebuild, bro. We got some pieces. We got some players at certain positions. But there's too many holes to sit here and say we're not in the rebuild. And
it's like Nikki Buck has pointed it out. Our secondary. Demo, our secondary is still it's trash.
Listen, I've been calling this dude for the last couple years. But you gonna keep running him out there like he's a top level cover corner, then you deserve whatever you get. And Carlton Davis can't cover, bro.
Carlton Davis is not a cornerback. Let's make this clear right now.
Well, I mean,
Carlton Davis, he's
a starter.
Carlton Davis,
he's a starter.
When he was at Auburn, okay, yes, he was great. But if you look at most of the time, okay, this dude was not really playing corner. He was more of a safety or a nickelback. Go and look at the film. I said this when he was drafted, along with Jamil Dean. Okay? Like, everybody is like, well, why is Carlton Davis not great at the NFL? Well, first and foremost, he's not doing what he did at Auburn. Okay?
Too bad the Super Bowl year, though. I don't think Carlton Davis was bad.
Well,
I think that secondary was actually pretty good for a long stretch of the season, that Super Bowl year.
Well, the Super Bowl year, he was decent. But the thing to me, this is how I measure. This is how I measure if you that guy or not. When the game is on the line, or there's a big third down and a play need to be made, is the ball coming your way? Because if you find yourself in the play on third and longs, time after time, and they converting them third and longs on you, they ain't throwing at you because you good. They throwing at you because they know you suck.
They know they have an advantage.
They got an advantage. And too many times over the last two seasons, I've seen third and long, third and 10, third and 12, third and 8. And every time that ball caught, it's the same dude. So you can say, well, that wasn't his man, or we wasn't in that coverage. Bro, why are you always the man that's around the ball on the big third down play or a big play down the field? Why is it always him? It ain't Jamel Dean. Dean Dean was one of the top corners in the league last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jamel Dean's actually pretty good.
So they was picking on Davis because Dean was playing that well last season. And to me, as a defender, if you don't hear my – as a cover guy, if you don't hear my name during the course of the game, you're doing something right. But if I keep hearing your name, they going at you.
I mean, they didn't call Revis Island for nothing during his best years, you know?
Yeah, with Revis best years, you didn't throw at him. You just did it. You just did
or it. Or even Nnamdi Asamoah.
Yeah.
When he was on the Raiders.
Yep.
Absolutely incredible on the Raiders.
Asamoah, you can go back, you know, Eric Allen. We had a couple ourselves. How many conversions we gave up on the third and long that got caught on Rondae Barber or got caught on Brian Kelly?
And I would say in today's league, Jair Alexander on the Packers.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah.
He's really good. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is good, but I think Jair Alexander's better.
Dolphins got a couple good defensive backs too.
The Falcons do have some good defensive backs, and that defense is young, and that defense is up and coming. And I think the Falcons, depending on how Desmond Ridder goes and how they draft in the next year or two, I think the Falcons are an up and coming team.
I actually agree. I agree with you. I think the Saints are on the downward trend, and I do believe that the Falcons are up.
I like the Saints this year.
Well, the team in the NFC South that everybody needs to watch out for is the Carolina Panthers.
Listen.
They got their QB. But like you guys do not understand how good.
No, I think the quarterback is good. I think he's gonna be good, but they're gonna go through some.
Not this year.
No. I'm saying, over the next few years, they are going to be the team that I think is going to start making headway again.
Then for Bucks fans long term,
they
should suck more than the Cardinals, the Raiders, and the Packers this year to give yourself a shot at Caleb Williams.
No, absolutely
not.
The Bucks have got to
be really bad this year. Caleb Williams is worth it.
What
are you going to do? Trot out Baker Mayfield again?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Trot out Jacoby Brissett next year? What are you going to do, William?
Keep that damn name out your mouth.
Are you going to call up Luke McCown out of the stands? Like, what are you going to do at quarterback? You don't have options.
What are we going to do at quarterback? What we should be doing right now and giving Kyle Trask his shot.
Giving it a shot, correct. And hopefully he's a decent starter for a couple of years, but he's not a franchise guy.
Okay.
Much as Derek likes him,
he's not a franchise guy.
Williams is a franchise guy.
If you're gonna draft a guy in the second round, I mean it's a late second, the round they moved up in the draft to get him, whatever. I mean, whatever. It's still a second round pick. But if you're gonna draft that guy and then you're gonna come out to the fan base, this is what they said to the fans. We have an opportunity to take a guy who we feel is a great quarterback to sit and develop behind a quarterback like Tom Brady, to pick his brain and just to learn the game for a couple years And then once Tom Brady is done, you know, he's ready. He'll be ready. Okay, well, Tom Brady is done, and you go and get Baker, and basically
on a 1 year deal.
On a 1 year deal, and then you I'm gonna just go out here and say it. You promised the man a starting position, because from everything that I've read from reports and what I've seen with my two eyes, because guess what? If it's a quarterback competition, then both of these guys would have been pulling some heavy minutes in the rotation in the preseason. But Baker only played one quarter, and you played the dude from the very beginning of the preseason like he was a starter, but yet you tried to tell us that it was a quarterback competition. Now, I don't have direct sources. I don't have direct sources. I can't call people directly in tune with the Buccaneers, but I know a couple people that know a couple people. So I can pick up the phone.
Baker was never brought in to bring competition.
Bruh.
Baker was brought in to be a 1 year starter.
Yeah.
And if they perform well under Baker Mayfield, it's a 1 year tryout. And if they perform well, it will not surprise me is if they perform well under Baker Mayfield that they give him a 3 year extension.
But that'd be a mistake. That'd be a mistake.
Here's the reason why. If he doesn't perform well, then I think you will. I don't think, as much as they talk about Kyle Trask being and learning under Brady and yada, 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 Kyle Trask is not going to ever be a starting quarterback in Tampa Bay. That was proven.
That's a mistake.
It might be. It's a wasted draft pick, and it might be. I mean, look what San Francisco's doing.
Yeah.
They wasted the number 3 overall pick two years ago when they took Trey Lance, because Trey Lance will never see another snap in San Francisco.
No, he's done in San Francisco.
No. Trey Lance. Yeah.
Sam Darnold is number 2, and that says a lot.
Yeah. The same Sam Darnold that was in Carolina and beat out Baker Mayfield.
Well, let me ask you this, Boss Hawk. Do you think that San Francisco, while they're shopping Trey Lance, do you think that a place like Green Bay or even Denver might be a landing spot for him?
I think Denver is more optional because of the veteran stability of Russell Wilson. I don't think you put him in Green Bay behind Jordan Love.
Well, the only reason I brought up Green Bay is because if the Jordan Love experiment is a disaster, they're going to be scrambling.
Which it will be.
Trey Lance is a disaster. Trey Lance can't get the offense. That's one thing that he's having problems with. He can't grasp an offense.
Well, he can't grasp that Kyle Shanahan offense. But if he went to...
Which is one of the easiest damn offenses in football.
I mean, you're not
wrong.
If
you can't grasp a Shanahan offense, and you can't grasp an offense, what are you going to do when you go to an offense that has a string the size of a paragraph for play calling? Especially a Sean Payton offense.
Oh, yes. Yes, Sean Payton.
Especially a Sean Payton offense. Denver would be
like, hey, San Francisco, will give you a 6th-round pick for the guy, and then we'll try it out. It's right.
Here's the thing with that, Nick. I was listening to ESPN Radio on my way to football practice this afternoon, and that's exactly what they said. They said that there is no team that will offer more than a 6th-round pick for Trey Lance. And the other thing would be the condition. Some team might be lucky enough to offer a conditional that if he starts, I'll give you a 6th-round, but on conditions, if he starts 5 games, we'll move it up to a 5th, and if he becomes my full-time starter, we'll move it up to a 4th. The 49ers aren't going to get anything higher than a 4th-round pick for Trey Lance.
You know what?
Not at all.
That's exactly what I was about to say. The highest I could see anybody giving is a fourth round pick.
And
maybe
here's
if somebody got
the kid who was number three overall, and he just, I mean, yes, he got hurt, you know, and that sucks. And, you know, the old adage is you can't lose your starting job through injury. That doesn't take place anymore. That is not a case anymore. You are 100% vulnerable in this league now.
There's too many good random players that will play harder than you, a.k.a. Brock Purdy, and will eventually get his shot.
Yeah.
And correct. Now that he got his shot, he's actually really damn good.
And I'll tell you this.
The thing about the 49ers, they have four quarterbacks on their roster currently. So they could shop either one of those last two guys in Brandon Allen or Trey Lance and keep the other guy. I mean,
they could just release Brandon Allen and just tell Trey Lance to hang out in the tunnel in street clothes because we don't give a shit.
The thing with like I said in the chat room this afternoon with the new emergency quarterback rule, they don't have to be on the active roster on game day. They just have to be part of the 53-man roster. So you could carry two quarterbacks, but if those two quarterbacks go down, Trey Lance could jump in the tunnel, throw his uniform on, and come in and play.
But there's my tunnel argument right there.
And that would have won them the NFC Championship game last year had they had that option. But no,
yeah.
They had to go back to Brock Purdy, who had a torn ulnar collateral ligament in his elbow and couldn't throw the football 3 yards.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah.
That was sad to watch that.
If they would have had a guy
even serviceable as Trey Lance, they would have beat the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game and went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that
they wouldn't have beat the Chiefs.
But they would have been in the Super Bowl.
There was nobody beating the Chiefs. There was nobody in the NFC beating the Chiefs.
No. The Chiefs were on a mission.
Yeah, and
there's no doubt about it. But here's my question, Boss Hogg. With the type of salary that Trey Lance has, do you really keep him around as an emergency quarterback?
I mean,
the money, you on the books for it, so
You're on the books for it because I believe his contract was fully guaranteed. So.
Yep.
Also, look at this. If you buy a TV from a dude that priced it above what the TV is actually worth and you still bought it, are you really going to get rid of it for pennies? No. The answer is you have to stare at it and stare at your mistake all the time. That's really the answer.
I would
think that if the 49ers are shopping Trey Lance, that they're shopping him to get rid of that contract.
Well, here's the thing that I'm gonna give respect to the 49ers for, because it's something that a lot of organizations wouldn't do. And we got one right here in Tampa that chose the political route instead of putting the guy in that you've been grooming for that position. They made a pick in Trey Lance a few years back. And they, you know, injuries or whatnot, Purdy, they make another pick. Not expecting anything, but they make another pick. They take Brock Purdy. And Purdy comes out there when Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. Trey Lance was hurt, and he lights up the league. Leads him to the NFC Championship game. That was a Super Bowl team. If I have never seen one in my life, that was a Super Bowl team. Comes out before the offseason even gets started. He's our guy going into training camp. They not going back and saying, you know what, we drafted this guy in the third round, we have to give him a chance. No, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. We drafted him. We realized we made a mistake. This guy did something that we haven't seen in a while at the quarterback position in San Francisco. He's our guy going into next season. Coming off of surgery and everything, there was no hesitation in that.
No, none.
And that Niners team number, is really stacked.
Yeah.
And that number two, that's draft pick number 265.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, I mean, here's the thing, you know, he runs a Kyle Shanahan offense to a T.
Yep.
He makes that first read and gets rid of the ball, and he sees defenses. He sees defense very well.
The thing is, Balsong, is that that's what he was doing in Iowa State.
Never heard of that dude before San Francisco.
Really?
Definitely. But I mean, you know, he wasn't blowing away people to where he was going to be he was always going to be a last day pick if he was going to get picked. 90% of the people, quote unquote, draft experts said he was going to be an undrafted free agent and signed somewhere to be a walk on. In the NFL, you know, so the thing about it is it's just like, and we haven't talked about this yet, and I do want to touch on this a little bit before I get off the air, but it's the same thing, you know, with Jonathan Taylor as it is with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance. There's always somebody who can take your place. And Jonathan Taylor now is finding out that there's always somebody who can take his place because, and it's a little bit of the league taking his place away from him because the league is devaluing the running back so much.
Yep.
But, you know, it's that next man up mentality. And if you get hurt or if you hold out, the next man up is always cheaper and can play and maybe play better. And if he's cheaper and plays better, and if he's more hungry, correct, he's going to win out over the more expensive player because he's cheaper.
Yeah.
It's kind of the opposite of the same in the NBA.
The same caliber, correct. It is the opposite effect in the NBA. But if you can get the same caliber of talent out of a kid who you took in the seventh round compared to a kid who you took in the first round, these teams are going to lean towards that cheaper player for the next couple of years because they may have other players, a Nick Bosa or a Brandon Ayuk or you know, players like that they need to pay that are more stable and more valuable to their team to take their place.
It gives you star power, gives you discussion that your team is still, you know, good enough, right? Like
your team is still relevant, correct?
Yeah, you need that in the NFL especially. I mean, you can tell there's look at the Cardinals now. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was like, get me out of here the second Kyler Murray went down. Because they're not relevant anymore.
Well, Kyler Murray's a cancer, too. I think Kyler Murray is a big reason, not because Kyler Murray went down with injury, but because I think just Kyler Murray himself and his attitude and the way he presents himself to his teammates. I think he rubs his teammates the wrong way. And I think that's a lot why DeAndre Hopkins wanted out of there.
Isn't that whole thing with Kyler Murray is in his contract, his team had to essentially audit how many hours he was playing on video games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yes.
That was a real thing. I mean, that's your number one overall pick. And now the Cardinals are looking to be a bottom, what, 3-4 team in the league this year?
Yep.
So, it seems to me that, like you don't have a defensive identity. It used to be a Buda Baker, but now Buda Baker's just another dude. He's not as good as he was a couple years ago. You know, so chasing down a DK, you know, trying to get chased down by DK Metcalf. I think that when your quarterback dictates the rest of how your team goes, and
yeah, absolutely,
and it brings me back obviously to Tampa, and I wanted to make the point of you know how on this show when I come off the NBA, Derek and I talk all the time about how do you rebuild. How do you get worse before you get better? And how you do that is you give guys like Kyle Trask a shot because you're not going to be really good anyway. So why spend a one-year, $8 million deal on Baker Mayfield who's going to put you in the middle of, you know, draft selections? The Bucks are not going to win anything this year by being 8-9. They're going to be better off being like a 4-win team. They should be.
Well, see, here's the thing. Baker is not making $8 million. Baker is only making, like, what was it, Derek? Like $1.7 million this year. That's all he's guaranteed.
That's all he's guaranteed, yeah.
But, I mean, so, he will make, as being the starting quarterback, he is going to meet some of those incentives, and he's going to make more than $1.7 million. We know that.
Okay. Yeah. So, but the thing is that if he makes all these incentives, then obviously he is doing something right. Now, I am still on
that
train.
Not always true, because that could be yards, that could be starts, that could be touchdown throws. It doesn't mean it's about wins. It's just more about stats. I think it's normally
the thing is that it's more than the quarterback that has to win the game. First and foremost, we got to have a defense that can actually stop the other team.
But do you count on Baker Mayfield being that tone setter for an entire team, just like how Jameis Winston tried to do it, but obviously couldn't?
I count on Baker Mayfield to at best be a game manager. That is at best.
So if you're looking at Baker Mayfield to be a game manager, but you don't have a crazy, loud, outspoken dude on the defensive end that can give the Bucks a lot of attention, then again, you go back to the point where the Bucks are not going to win anything. So why even try this year? I don't think. I mean, I know I might be in the minority of how I'm thinking here, but the moment Tom Brady walked out the door, this franchise goes to being as inept and incompetent in a lot of their decisions, like how they were in the past. So,
yeah,
Tom Brady brought them relevancy, and he brought them a demanding winning culture, which obviously, Tampa did a great job surrounding talent with him, plus already had some homegrown in there. But when you sprinkle incompetency and you have only a defensive-minded coach, he's not well-rounded, he's not an offensive guru at all, and he fired Leftwich. You know, you could say Leftwich wasn't good or Leftwich wasn't good enough, but at least Leftwich wasn't terrible as an offensive mind, and now you're looking at a dude that revived Geno Smith. Like, is that really that exciting? As your offensive coordinator,
actually, it is.
Does Todd Bowles finish the season?
He might finish. He might finish the season.
I think he will.
Yeah, because the Bucks really don't fire people during the season. They wait till after the season. So, yes, he will at least finish the season. But here's the thing. If Todd Bowles gets fired, the next person out the door right behind him is Jason Light.
You guys have been wanting that since Christmas. You guys think that's a Christmas present, but honestly, it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. He hasn't been. As much as everybody wants to fire on the show, and I understand that, but he has survived this entire time. So how do you think that he's just going to be fired because they were expecting to be bad, because they're going to be bad?
Okay, so here's the thing. This last draft, in my personal opinion, was probably one of the better drafts that Jason Light has been the general manager of. I can't even say that he actually oversaw this draft, because I honestly feel like Bruce Arians was trying to pull in the strings more than what people realize. But Jason Light has had so many misses. And the thing is that, honestly, if we don't get Tom Brady, Jason Light is already out of a job. Tom Brady saved Jason Light's job.
Oh, he saved a lot of people's jobs.
Yeah. Tom Brady made the Buccaneers actually really good and relevant because he's Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield or even a Kyle Trask is a serious, serious downgrade. And the team is going to be really bad. I'm sorry.